I think it was really demanding,
my last 6 months at Red Bull, mentally, because I knew what I was going through and how I was being looked at, and I knew the amount of effort I was putting in.
Sergio Perez, sixth time he's out in Q1 this year.
Yeah, unbelievable. It just doesn't get any better.
It's not the way I want to leave the sport, because it's a sport I love.
Welcome to Formula One Cadillac, a distinctive livery and Formula One's 11th team.
I had the contract for a few days already, and I was just thinking, shall I do it? Shall I not? I really feel like I'm part of this project, of this new era. Of course, I want to win championships and be fighting at the front. But if you don't have that opportunity, Cadillac, it's something that motivates me a lot, you know, because it's building a team from scratch, starting basically from last to see how far we can go together.
When you think back to that young guy who made his debut in 2011 with Sauber, what advice would you give that guy now?
Enjoy it more.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's F1 Beyond the Grid. I'm delighted to say that we're joined by Checo Perez, Cadillac F1 driver. How are you?
I'm good.
You look well.
Just getting back.
Well, you look like a man who's enjoyed the summer break.
Yeah, I had a good time. Can't complain. Really, really happy. I was in Colorado for a bit and then back in Mexico at the beach. So it was really, really enjoyable.
Colorado. You like the mountains?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it there.
Can you tell us where you went, or is it a city?
Vail, Colorado, in the mountains. A lot of activities. I love doing activities all the time. You know, riding bikes, running, hiking, all that sort of stuff.
And the kids were with you?
Yeah. They were with me. They kept me pretty busy, pretty sharp. Very demanding. A lot of training.
Are any of them karting now?
My oldest is my younger. We go every weekend when I'm with them. We go to the track and do some laps here and there.
Is he a chip off the old block?
He has talent, but like everything, you know, it's how much effort he puts in. He's too busy at the same time with tennis, with football. You know, he's just doing a lot of sports at the moment, which is great. You know, I love them, that they do a lot of sport.
You have to specialize at some point, don't you, if you're going to be a professional?
I agree. There's a crucial point, you know, and it needs to come early.
How old is he?
It's nine.
About now, really?
Yeah. How about now? Nine.
Look, Checo, what about you? Were you able to completely switch off from Formula One during the break?
So. You know, there's always a lot of work going behind the scenes, you know, in terms of, you know, especially being with a new team, with always in contact with my engineers, with the whole people around me, and mentally, you know. I remember when I was off Formula One, you can really like switch off and you don't worry about what you eat and that sort of stuff. When you're in Formula One, you're always like, the back of your mind is conscious on what you're eating, what you're taking, if you didn't train the day after and that sort of thing. So although you can disconnect a bit, like I'll say 80% of your brain still is thinking as if you are a Formula One driver.
It's there tapping you on the shoulder the whole time, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Reminding you.
Because you know that when you come back straight away, you know, you are back into it. And I'm really happy, you know, really happy to be back.
Now, the news cycle never stops. And I guess you were partly having to deal with what I'm about to ask you about. Marcin Budkowski has come in as team principal here at Cadillac. What's your reaction to that?
It's great, you know. It's a great addition to the team. I think he's extremely hungry for it, and I think it's really someone that can take the team to the next level. And I really trust him. I think there's a lot of trust in him from GM, from Dan. Everyone really, really putting a lot of trust in him. So looking forward to it. At the same time, obviously, Graham is extremely grateful to do what he has achieved, you know, putting all this team together and putting us into the grid together with obviously a lot of effort from GM and Dan on making it happen. But at the end of the day, this is Formula One and this is how it works.
Do you think teams need different bosses at different stages of their evolution?
Definitely. It's like teams, they need different drivers at certain times. And at the end of the day, Formula One, it's a team sport, but it's all about performance, you know. And you can see with Cadillac, you know, although we are a new team, and I think what we've done is tremendous amount of a good job, you know, by putting a team together and so on. We've been close in certain occasions to have points here or there. Cadillac shows that it's not a team just to be on the grid, and they want to move forwards.
So Graham was the perfect guy to get you on the grid, and now a guy with an engineering background, Martin, is the guy to take you to the next level. Is that what we're saying?
I think that's in the back. I mean, you have to ask, obviously, the people that have taken the decision. At the end of the day, I'm just a driver here. But I think it sounds logical, no? I think Graham has done a tremendous job on putting this team together. But at the same time, you know, I think in everything, Cadillac is looking at ways, you know, on how we're going to be moving forwards, whether that's a team principal, a mechanic, engineer, driver, whatever. It's logical. I think they wouldn't be doing a good job if they were not looking at how to improve and how to move these things forwards.
Checo, you say I'm just a driver, but are you more than that here? Was that one of the appeals of coming to Cadillac?
Yeah, definitely. I really feel like this is a project, and I really feel like I'm part of this project, of this new era, like building something from scratch. Of course, I want to win championships and be fighting at the front, but if you don't have that opportunity, I think Cadillac, it's something that motivates me a lot, you know, because it's like building a team from scratch and starting basically from last to see how far we can go together. And like you say, you know, I feel like here I'm much more than a driver. At the same time, they listen a lot to me on different things, on development and stuff. And only a few drivers can get that in their careers, you know. And it's the first time I can have this.
You said in Hungary at the last race, we're speaking in Zandvoort, that we need to change our processes. I mean, that's, I suppose, what you're talking about, right?
On everything. I think the last few races have been a disappointment. There's a lot of disappointment because we haven't been developing. We haven't been improving. And us being a new team is what we should be doing, you know, like every time. So I felt like there was a bit of a stalling in the last few races. And that's why, we had to review on things, how we were doing everything. You know, obviously being a new team, there's a lot of things that we are constantly learning.
The team has been pulling up trees to get where it has, right? Think, It only got its entry a year out.
Yeah.
And you make it not only to Melbourne, but, you know, you're there at pre-season testing, you're getting the job done. At what point for you did the novelty of this being a new team, a new project, wear off and the competitor in you start thinking, I need performance?
I think as soon as I
you
sign up, yeah, basically, I think, because this is Formula One, you know, and we grew up with the engine on our back, you know, and we are constantly pushing. We're constantly pushing boundaries because I think if you don't have that fire in you as a driver or as a guy who works in Formula One, then this is not the job. There's a lot of other jobs, you know, and maybe it's, I mean, life is great outside Formula One, but if you are in Formula One, you have to have this will on improving, on constant searching for improvements. And you can never lie back in Formula One.
I mean, when you had your, what should we call it, gap year last year, did you ever want to turn your back on Formula One and go and do something completely different? Or from day one, was it, I've got to get back?
No. I think it was really demanding. My last 6 months, I'd say, at Red Bull and at the sport mentally, because I knew what I was going through and how I was being looked at and I knew the amount of effort I was putting in and the circumstances I was in. So I said, look, I've been very fortunate to have the career I've had. So maybe it's time to look at something else. You know, I believe that, there's a lot of life out of the sport, especially I realized that after my year out. And then when I was looking at, I felt like, you know, it's not the way I want to leave the sport because it's a sport I love. And I feel like when I look back in 20 years' time, I might regret leaving the sport like this. So then the opportunity with Cadillac was coming up, and I met obviously Dan and GM, and so I mean this project and this brand is really appealing, and this is something I want to do because I can be part of a project, you know, and to do it with all the resources, everything in place, with such a competitive people around me, I think it's going to be an enjoyable circle. And also working with Khalil, my manager, you know, he's one of my best friends. And then we ended up together working, you know, him doing my management. And it was very, all of a sudden, it became a very enjoyable entourage, I'll say.
I mean, we're speaking at Zandvoort, and it was over this race weekend last year that you signed for the team, wasn't it? I'm told, anyway.
It must be around. I'm not sure if it's really.
Well, that's what they told me.
All right. So it must. Yeah, it must be around this time. You know,
but you weren't here in the Netherlands, were you? Where were you when you signed?
I was at Punta Mita, at my house at the beach. Yeah, I remember when. I had the contract for a few days already, and I was just thinking, you know, like, shall I do it? Shall I not? You know, because once you have it there in front of you, I wasn't, you know, too sure about it at the time.
And, what were the reservations? Was it the commitment that you need?
Yeah,
to put in?
I know that, you know, when you sign up for this job, it's 24/7. Yeah. And I know myself how intense I am, and I knew that if I commit to this, it's going to be full on, you know, and 24/7. And with my kids getting into certain ages, I was having a great time with my family. And, you know, as a human being, I feel it's normal, you know, to have these doubts on whether you commit to something. Formula One is very demanding. It's a sport that you live a lot of the year, and you live your family, your place. I think if I didn't have the family, it's a lot easier, you know, to make decisions. But for me, family is everything, and that's my number one priority.
What did Carola say? What did your wife say?
She was very supportive, and she really wanted me to keep fighting and to leave the sport in much better terms than what happened a year ago.
And it sounds like you're going to have a racing career to pay for as well.
Your
son, you're gonna. It sounds like the next few years could get expensive, right? So you got to keep. Yeah, yeah. You got to keep working.
I gotta make it up, right? Yes. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Who knows what happens next? But exactly, you never know who you're working for. So, no. But I think as an athlete, it's really important to maximize your career.
You're a long time retired, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And. Yeah, you got to maximize all your opportunities while you can.
I get what you're saying about not wanting to leave Formula One the way that 2024 ended, but did you look at doing other race series last
yes,
year?
Yes, I thought, like, you know, once I know what's happening with Formula One, with my Formula One future, once it's closed or open, then I look at something else. But I didn't want to do anything else because I wanted to keep that muscle memory from Formula One. So when I jump back in the car, it was Formula One. You know, all what I know, it's Formula One. So that's why I didn't want to do. I did some karting just to keep in shape and so on. And then I did some Ferrari. I did a Ferrari test later in the year, 2 days in Imola. And straight away.
But that was after you'd signed.
Yeah, that was after I signed. And
how did that feel after a year away?
I was quite surprised, you know, like between a couple of runs, I was already up in the pace, you know, so I was quite surprised. Was quite good. I did quite a bit of training for it. And it was, we've done this for so long, you know, like you see with drivers that they stop for a lot of months and they get back, and within two practice sessions, they're back to it, you know, and because we've done it for so long, this is all we know. And, it's a lot of muscle memory in it. So I was happy that I didn't do anything else. Mm. I had a good time. I was able to disconnect from the sport. I was very busy as well with different projects I have out of Formula One and with my family. I was able to visit Africa twice.
Where did you go?
I went to Kenya, all that part, and then I went to South Africa the second time. I loved Africa. I can't wait to get back there.
This episode is sponsored by Claude. When it comes to work projects, most of the time you've probably got a pretty good idea of what you want to achieve. It's figuring out the best way to get there that's the tricky bit. Claude is the AI for problem solvers. It's the collaborator that understands your entire workflow and thinks with you, not for you. Whether you're debugging code at midnight, building a financial model, or strategizing your next business move, Claude extends your thinking to tackle the problems that matter. And now Claude can help with the creative side of that too. With Claude Design, you can describe what you're trying to create, whether that's a website, prototype, or slide deck, and even attach your own design system so what it creates stays within your own design language. Plus, you can edit everything directly on the canvas and export clean PDFs and PowerPoints when you're done. And rather than being stuck with your first idea, you can explore several different design directions in minutes. Keep everything on brand and even hand it over to Claude Code when you're ready to build. For problems worth solving, get started with Claude at claude.ai/grid. That's claude.ai/grid. And check out Claude Pro, which includes access to all of the features mentioned in today's episode. claude.ai/grid.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're gonna need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Checo, that whole year, I get that you were talking to these guys and on the phone to Dan Tauris and everyone, but it must have been the first time that you've stopped, paused, as an adult, right? Since you went to Germany aged 14.
Well, basically not just when I went to Germany, since I was doing karting. You know, you are constantly on the road, constantly thinking what's next, and then all of a sudden there's a break, you know, and I think it's, I mean, I was very fortunate to be able to have that, you know, and to look from the outside and have that perspective on what you want to do next, you know, because I know that it's towards the end of my career, what I do next. So it was a very important time for me and for myself and for my family.
How long did you not even think about Formula One? Was there a period of months where you just disconnected completely?
Yeah, for the entire, I think, 2 months or 3 months. I started realizing that I missed Formula One when the season started, and I was like waking up to see the races.
You did watch all the races?
Yeah, yeah, most of them. Like, if I was in Africa, I will follow up. And I was chatting to my friends that I have in the paddock. I basically kept in touch with everything, and I knew what was going on and all that sort of thing. So that's when I realized, you know, like, I still miss the sport.
Yeah. And then what was top of your to-do list away from racing? Was it the trips to Africa?
Yeah. And then to find myself, you know, I think as an athlete, you always have that on the back of the mind. How is life after you finish what you've done, what you know? You know, because for us, the easy thing will be just to carry on doing something else in this world, a world that we all feel very comfortable with. But I always want to do something else, something different, and challenge myself. I love I love businesses away from Formula One and do different things, learning on new different area. I was pretty busy, you know, with a lot of projects.
Because you have the foundation as well.
I have my foundation as well. I was able to put my foundation and like to put the whole team around me that I have with my family office to make sure that everything is running a little bit more smoothly. And with like you have to take a lot of leadership in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So that requires a lot of time. So I was pretty busy with that. And then... once I knew I was back into Formula One with a Formula One contract and into the simulators and that sort of thing.
So you signed in August, but yes. When did the discussions with Cadillac start?
The discussions were already February, March.
As early as that?
Yeah, but they didn't knew if they were going to get the license at the time. So it was like a bit...
But as soon as they got it in March?
Yeah, as soon as they got the license and things start rolling and... And,
so you didn't get that much time to experience life away from F1, really?
No, I think so. I think I did got enough time to, like, I'll say good 3-4 months, you know, because especially in the beginning, those discussions were done through Khalil. So I was always in the background doing my own stuff and, looking at my perspective and the thing I wanted to look at and trying to put everything in place. So, and then, doing a few travelings.
How does life look outside this paddock? Because anyone who's been here for a while has been institutionalized by Formula One.
Yeah.
How does it look? I haven't had that gap here.
It's really nice. There's a great life out of Formula One. You know, I think this is our passion and it's really hard to find this passion outside. You know, but there is, if you find something you do, you like, I think it's very important. You find something that you like and that takes your brain away from here and motivates you to do something else. You know, like in my position, I'm very fortunate. I have that, you know, with my foundation. It really motivates me, you know, to do that sort of things and be able to help other people and to raise funds and then on the other side, like to look after my funds and making sure I take the right decisions with my money and being able to be taking those decisions and being upfront. You know, I believe that you have to lead your decisions and don't let them to anyone take them for you. So you have to be upfront.
So in terms of investments and things like that, you're leading the charge on that,
right? Oh, yeah, definitely, 100%. I take every decision. I have a great team around me, but I learn on what I'm investing, on what comes up, what I'm doing, how I'm invested. It's something I like as well. You know, I enjoy
it. So, Checo, do you know what the FTSE is doing right now?
What the?
The FTSE, for example.
What's the FTSE?
The FTSE 100, the big...
I follow more the US market.
Okay. Yeah. But you do, right?
So I do. Know. I do 100%. I follow up. I believe that it's really important. It's like in Formula One. You cannot let people take the decisions for you and tell you how you're doing. You should know it yourself, how you're doing. I believe, like, as an athlete or as a human being, you should have great team around you, but you should be the one taking your decisions and knowing what sort of risk you want to take, what sort of reward you would like to have, and then don't let everyone, because if it goes right, then everyone is a genius, but if it goes wrong, then you know what went wrong exactly, you know, and that's something I just enjoyed a lot. I had a lot of fun with that. I was able to meet a lot of good people as well, you know, out of this business. And not everyone is like in Formula One. Yeah. That's something you also have to, like, it took me a bit of a while.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, in Formula One, like, everything it's about, like, what they can get from you if you are useful to someone or you're useless. Like, there's nothing in the middle. And in outside of this world, there's a lot of good people, a lot of will to help, to... a lot of patience, you know, like if you do something, there's a lot of patience, long-term patience and so on. And here everything is quick and you're useful or useless and then they move on quickly. And the outside world is not like that. And there's also, there's great, you know, that, like being able to enjoy your family for more than a month, or your friends, being able to catch up with them in a relaxed way, not thinking what's coming next. I think that's just what life is for, you know? So my advice is just to enjoy it as much as you can, you know, because it is not forever. These careers for us are not forever. But don't be bothered, you know? I think a lot of people in this paddock are worried that when this finishes, what's next? And there's a massive life out there.
Right, and your teammate even has "what's next" written tattooed
exactly,
on his leg.
Exactly, you know, he's the most "what's next" guy I've known.
Yeah. Look, final thoughts on the gap year. Tell us more about Africa. What animals did you enjoy seeing the most?
Africa is beautiful. More than the animals, the culture, how happy the people are over there. It's really nice. And seeing the animals, I've seen everything. Like, from snakes to lions eating a zebra or hyenas, catching up, trying to beat the lions. And you see how everyone's are acting, you know, like all the different animals.
So kind of like really... the Formula One paddock, if you ask. Yeah.
There's a lot of hyenas in here.
And I guess what all that did for you is you fell back in love with Formula One. I remember Daniel Ricciardo telling me that when it all came to an end at McLaren, what he wanted to do was try and remember why he fell in love with this sport in the first place. Were you on a similar journey?
Yes, I was similar, because sometimes you forget the sport. When you get to Formula One, becomes more of a company. You become more of a company, and then all the fun you used to have, it's more related to a company. And it's always good to sit back and remember. I mean, although this is a business, it's what we love to do. And this is what, like, driving every Sunday and competing in qualifying and trying to get the maximum and trying to be as fit as possible. And that sort of life that you have as a Formula One driver, it's great. And we love it, you know, and we even get paid for it. So it's a great job to have.
And how is the motivation dealing with being at the back, as opposed to, you know, last time you were in Formula One, you were, even in that difficult 2024 season, you were finishing on the podium?
Yeah, not too bad, to be honest, because you're still at Formula One. You're still at the pinnacle of the sport. You're still working with the best engineers in the world. You are competing against the best drivers of the world. Although you are far from them, for example, my teammate is Valtteri. He's one of the most successful guys in the grid, in the current grid. He's one of the fastest out there. So to keep up the challenge with him, it's that sort of motivation, you know. Although, yeah, we might be fighting for no points at some point and so on. Like, you're still talking to the same language, to the engineers, to the tire group, everything. I mean, it's crazy, but it doesn't matter if you are fighting for the championship or you're fighting for P18. The language is very similar, you know, and all it takes is a couple of seconds can change your life a lot, you know, on development. So you can be like, so with Aston Martin, they were fighting with us the 1 week before, and then in Hungary they made a massive jump, and probably in 2-3 months time they're fighting at the front. It's and they're talking the same language. So that was something I thought, you know, like when I was coming back, like the motivation is not going to be there because I will be fighting at the back. But it hasn't been the case, you know. I'm very happy that I'm still in Formula One, like talking the same language to my people around me.
You talk about the progress at Aston Martin, right, and how earlier in our conversation, you were saying that maybe you'd stalled here in the races leading up to the summer break. But if you took this car back to Bahrain now, how much quicker would you be? I mean, significantly?
Not enough. No, I don't think we have improved as much as we hoped for. I would say, obviously, everyone. I don't know, a second. But probably we were looking for 2 seconds. So... but yeah, the most important is we understand and we look at our processes, why it hasn't come that second, why we haven't improved in all those different areas. Because it's not only one thing, you know, being a new team, there's a lot of things that are in there that, and I can see them, you know, if we improve our load, our ride, a lot of things, all of a sudden, You know, we are not that far. We are at the back, but half a second, 1 second will change our life completely at this stage, you know. And I feel like for us being a new team, it's in there. It's possible.
You talk about increasing load. The fact that Martin is an aerodynamicist by trade. In fact, I think he was head of aero at McLaren in 2013 when you were at that team. But do you think Martin can help improve that, or is that not his job as team principal?
I think that's his job. You know, he will be, I would say, responsible as well to put the people in place that he believes are the best, you know, with what we can get as Cadillac, and try to make motivate the best people in the paddock to come to this project, because it's great to be part of something new, you know. Like, if I don't know, if you go to a top team and you do things well, like, it's not you. But if you come to Cadillac and all of a sudden you transform the team, people will look at you a lot, you know, and you will be remembered forever. So I think there's a lot of appetite out there for a lot of good people to come into Cadillac.
Checo, what we were talking about earlier, about you being more than just a driver, I'm reminded how David Coulthard was the guy responsible, really, for getting Adrian Newey to go to Red Bull. And are you seeing yourself in that role? Are you on the telephone to people you've worked with in the past saying, come on, come and join us?
I mean, I know, I obviously know a lot of good people out there. You know, I've been in this paddock for a lot of long time. I've been trying to get a few people, of course, but at the end of the day, you have to also know your position, and I am not the one that takes those decisions on who I bring and who I hire. It is not my role. But I obviously try to influence and try to tell the team, I mean, I think this guy will be good if he comes, and so on. And all I can see is that the appetite for Cadillac around the paddock is rising every time. And that's something good to have, you know, as a Formula One team.
This episode is sponsored by Wayfair. You might remember a few episodes back, I mentioned we'd been looking on Wayfair for a few things for the house and some bits and pieces for the kids away at uni. Well, I did eventually make up my mind about a few things. First, a Silent Night Pure Cotton 200 TC duvet cover. It looks really soft and comfortable. It's a great price, and it happens to have my initials in the title, but I don't think the kids have noticed that yet. Then for us at home, I really like the look of the Chester linen cabinet for bathroom storage. It's very classy, it's very easy to build, and it's going to be a great addition to what's always been a pretty sparse space in our house. And you know what's great about Wayfair? Is just how much choice there is. There are plenty of options at different price points, so you can find something that fits your style and budget without spending more than you want to. And when you shop with Wayfair Verified, their product specialists hand-vet pieces using a 10-point quality inspection, looking at things like the materials, functionality, and even how long they take to put together. So join Wayfair Rewards today to get 5% back on every purchase and start saving on your next home upgrade. Head to wayfair.com to shop all things home. That's Wayfair, Wayfair.com. Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Kevin. This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
So So let's throw it forward. First of all, second half of 2026. What do you want to see this team achieve in the next 12 races?
I think progress. I want to see more progress, closing out the gap, executing.
Closing up the gap to?
To the teams ahead of us. Right. I don't know who's ahead at the moment. I don't know if it's Williams. Aston seems to have...
Be part of the midfield conversation,
yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. Be part and be able to mix with them more in the races, different, you know, like being able to close that gap will only allow us to start next year in a much better shape. And that's something I want to see. Obviously, I'm looking forward to work with Marcin, see his leadership. I think there's a lot of room for improvement, not just on performance, you know, operationally, pit stops, strategy, tires, you know, like there's so much still. It's only our 10th, 11th race in our history. So there's a lot of things, but I want to see much more progress closing out the gap. And then I think that will give us a massive boost to start next year.
And how do you feel about the way Cadillac has set itself up with bases in America? You know, more and more of the team is migrating over there. They're doing things differently.
Yeah,
do you believe in that system?
I do. I do believe because, you know, I mean, GM, it's a manufacturer that has done motorsport for their entire career. And the level of competitiveness in the US, it's extremely high. I mean, they've been very helpful in a lot of ways. We've been able to learn stuff from them. I think as a team, we have to be open. You know, there's a lot we can learn from other series, other ways of doing things. For example, McLaren was able to get advantage from their IndyCar team in a few years ago, you know, with how they were treating the ride and stuff like that. So there's always room to improve and learn things. I think as long as you have your mechanism very clear and you are able to deliver the idea quickly to the track, then that's positive.
And what about you in 27? I mean, Max Verstappen's committed. Both Williams drivers have committed as well to their futures. What about Checo?
Yeah, well, for me, nothing has changed. You know, of course, we've had conversations with other teams and here and there. A few teams have been calling and stuff, but for me, nothing has changed. I see this as my project and I want to be part of Cadillac.
In 27 and beyond?
Yes. I really believe. I don't think this is a one-year project. You know, I think this is a long-term project that I want to be part of. Obviously, there will be some discussions, but this is what I want to be, and nothing has changed from my side.
Look, and Mexico this year is going to be, well, it's always a massive party, right? That's the nature of the race. But for you personally, you're going to be celebrating your 300th Grand Prix at home.
It's crazy. Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea that it was happening. I was working on my helmet the other day for Mexico, and all of a sudden they brought up that it was my 300th race in Mexico, you know, because of the canceled races and so on. So it's crazy. I mean, 300 races in Formula One, and to celebrate them at home will be a special event.
I mean, Checo, when you think back to that young guy who made his debut in 2011 with Sauber, do you recognize that guy? Are you a completely different person now? What advice would you give that guy now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would just say, you know, enjoy it more. Enjoy it more, because when you come to Formula One, there's a lot of pressure in you. I mean, and you tend to forget. You get drawn into that amount of pressure that it is, and you are always just thinking on performance on everything you do, on your physical side, on what you eat, on what you talk to the team, and so on. So, and once you realize, it's 10 years after, you think, wow, I've done already 10 years in Formula One and I haven't enjoyed them enough. You know, like there's only, I don't know, another 10 left maximum. I wish I enjoyed them more. You know, the bad moments, the good moments. That would be my advice, because I am very professional and I give a lot to the sport. But at the same time, We don't want to forget to enjoy it. I think that will be the advice.
You're not unique in that. Fernando Alonso has said exactly the same thing. Actually, we were talking about his championships and he just said, I wish I'd enjoyed them more. I wish I'd gone out and celebrated with the team. Yeah. Well, I'm sure he did. But, you know, and he said, you're always on to the next thing.
I think because when you start in karting, it's, you know, you are so competitive and you have so much pressure that if you don't deliver on the weekend, you might not race the next weekend. And you get carried away with that mentality, with that, I don't know. At the same time, it's probably why you get into Formula One and you have a great career because you are so much driven into that. But I think there's also room, a lot of room to enjoy it, more, enjoy the good moments, laugh at the bad moments. Just have a better time, you know, because this is such a little part of your life that for me, yeah, I will have liked to enjoy it more, and I want to enjoy more my final part.
Let's take it back to Sakhir 2020, your first win.
This is really happening. You are really watching Sergio Perez win in Sakhir for his first ever Formula One Grand Prix victory. And Mexico has a Grand Prix winner for the first time since 1970 in an extraordinary race executed brilliantly from the man who was last on lap one at turn four and wins the Grand Prix in Sakhir.
Yes, Checo, P1.
I remember you walking to the press conference after that race. Massive smile on your face, obviously. How long did that good feeling last?
3 days until the next race, you know, like because the next race you want to do even better. The engine blew up in Abu Dhabi, and then we remember it's our last Sunday.
Only as good as your last race.
Yeah. This is how the mentality works, but it does affect. I don't think all the drivers are like this, but it does affect some drivers that you get carried away with it and you forget to enjoy more.
Well, Checo, there's no doubt in my mind that you're driving as well as ever. We've seen enough evidence of that this year. I did want to ask you finally, how do you think age affects racing drivers in particular?
I think there's a certain age where you start to drop.
What drops first?
I think the engine inside you.
Motivation.
I wouldn't call it motivation. It's like the wheel. The wheel of... And you see it from the outside. You know, when you're not in the car, how much you're thinking on your engineers, on your car, on your... When you start to, like, when you go away and you start thinking less and less on that, that's the first alarm, I would say, that it's going away. Because when you're young, all what you're thinking, it's what's coming next, how you will be driving better, what different techniques you can use, and that sort of thing. But as you get older and older, in some drivers are different. Some drivers, it happens at late 20s, mid-30s, mid-40s, and others...
Fernando's 45. Might happen.
We might see Fernando until he's 60, you know? He's still driving at a very high level. Yeah. But I think Fernando is different. It's and Fernando, I think, has that engine inside him still. You can see him whenever there is an opportunity, like whenever there is anything he can take advantage of, he still has that. Mm. And you can see it. But everyone is different. I don't think that there is a number... that there is an age, you know, because although Formula One is very physical, very demanding, like training is not a limitation like other sports, like within football or tennis, like it just limits you. Here, I think it's more the brain or
but
the
not,
vision.
It's not reactions. It's not.
Or if your reactions are dropping, but I don't think it's
Do you lose any feel? Well, you don't know because you're not there yet. But.
No. I think it's a will to do things in Formula One, you know, because the talent, I mean, especially with experience, it just gets better because you know a lot more things. You've been through a lot of different eras, different setups, different cars. So you just keep your brain keeps getting wider. I think it's a will on doing things that really once it drops, sort of then everything follows, you know, the reaction and that sort of thing.
It's not dropping with you, is it?
No, it's not. But I think at the same time, it's really hard, you know, for a driver to realize, like, you know, it's enough. You know, I'm not as competitive as I wish or as I want to be, and you need to call it off. And I think to take that decision as a driver is not so easy, but at the end, you need to be very honest with yourself and grateful, you know, to that kid that started everything. Mm. And you need to be able to say, you know,
but it's time to do something else. For you, is that 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
It's hard to tell you a number. Obviously, I don't have much in it. Say maybe 3 years, 3 years more. I want to see this project moving forward. So I think that requires a bit more time. But yeah, I mean, I respect a lot what Fernando has done, you know, in the sport and the motivation he has. But for me, it wouldn't be that long because I want to do other things out of Formula One.
Brilliant. Checo, it's been such a pleasure to speak to you again. Thank you for your time. Good luck with everything.
Thanks.
All right. See you soon. Thanks.
Well said, Checo. 3 more years, if that happens, should give you enough time not only to lay the foundations for Cadillac's Formula One future, but to get some good results as well, especially once these 2026 regulations start to mature and the field closes up as it always does in time. I really love this chat. Checo was so relaxed, and there's no doubt in my mind that he's benefited from his year out. The time away from the sport has given him some perspective, which I think will make him an even better racing driver. He also gave us some great insights. What he got up to in his gap year was fun to listen to, and him not wanting to drive anything else last year because he didn't want to affect his muscle memory for Formula One was fascinating. Checo, many thanks for your time, as ever, and I'll see you soon. Well, that's almost it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. And please do check out F1 Nation's review of the Dutch Grand Prix, which is out now. Alex Brundle and Lawrence Barreto join me to discuss Lando Norris's second win in a row and whether he's now in the world title fight. And below that, on the F1 Nation feed, you can find out how the Lego Drivers Parade mini cars were made in the latest episode of F1 Explained. Now, I'll be back next week with a very special guest ahead of the Italian Grand Prix at Monza, so I'll speak to you then. F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios. Until next time, keep it flat out.